Welcome back into My Guys in the Desert. We are starting off hour two right here at the VSiN Circa Studio. We have Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds at the South Point Sportsbook. And we were just talking a lot of college hoops, and that got me interested in some props. These are on DraftKings. We are going to get to hear from DraftKings Sportsbook Director Johnny Avello in just a few short minutes. So I thought we'd take a look at some of these college basketball props that DraftKings has up. So they have who's going to get a number one seed, right? And Baylor, Gonzaga, Michigan, all at minus 10,000. Now, before I even go further, Wes, Matt, any chance that these three teams don't get a one seed?
I'd say slim to none and slim left town, especially if Baylor ends up getting the win here at West Virginia and gives them another quality win. So I think those three are spoken for. And then there is a battle, just judging by this graphic that's about to appear on your television screen, a scramble to get that final number one seed.
Yeah, I think three teams are set.
Three teams are set.
Okay, you look at the body of work for Gonzaga, Baylor, and Michigan, and there's no team below those three that could actually, I think, leapfrog those three no matter what happens here in the last week and a half. Wes, I just can't see it. Those three, I think, are cemented as number one seeds, and the big question is who's going to be number four, because right now no team seems to want to jump up and grab that number four or that fourth number one seed.
West Virginia's got their opportunity here if they can turn it around here in the second half. The end of the first half, if you were with us last hour, did not go swimmingly, at least for me.
We did have Mackenzie Kramer on at the top of the hour, the first hour here. If you missed that, you can always check it out on vsin.com. He discussed how strength of record would affect a lot of these different schools. So obviously we were just discussing here, Matt was saying, it's hard to figure out who that fourth number one seed is going to be. Wes, is your only one here that you're maybe looking at would be a West Virginia at 4-1, or what do you like on this board?
I was looking at that, but I mean, look, Illinois 5-1. The selection committee is going to take into account that Ayo Dosunmu has been out for this team, so I think they have a legitimate chance. Houston just doesn't have the non-conference wins, I think, to get a number one. They're a two seed somewhere, so I would probably go with maybe Florida State if they can win the ACC. I think they would be right there. Either Florida State or Illinois would be the two I would look at.
Matt, anything to you on that board?
No, I'll pass. I'll pass on that. Let's go on to the next topic.
Okay, you want to take a look at who's going to make the tournament. So we have some teams here that are kind of on the could go either way side of things. Georgia Tech, Yellow Jackets. They're yes to make the tournament at minus 112. They're no at minus 112 as well. Wes, I'll give you the first crack at it.
Big game tonight, Wes.
Yeah,
the two
matching up. I'm going to say yes on Georgia Tech because I do think they're actually going to beat the Blue Devils. More to come on that game. So I'd say yes. Lean to yes on the Duke. They might need to win in the ACC tournament, and then you had Belmont up there. Now, if Belmont loses in the Ohio Valley tournament, zero chance.
Right.
Because they do not have any quad one or even, I think, quad two wins. They're a very good team, but have played pretty much a conference schedule in the OVC. So no chance there. And I even saw it a little bit higher. If you're going to bet, I wouldn't bet this prop either way. If you're going to bet the no that Belmont is not going to make the tournament, just go ahead and bet the money line on whoever is facing them in the Ohio Valley tournament, because they're going to be a big favorite over pretty much every single team, maybe with the exception of Morehead State, where they'll probably still be a several point favorite. So go ahead and take the money line instead of taking that prop.
What about Duke? Any thoughts on Duke for either of you?
Duke's going to have to win tonight, and Duke's got a finale up against North Carolina this weekend. I think the home loss to Louisville last week was really costly for the Blue Devils' chances to get to the tournament. I would like to say lay that no price, but I can't do it because I don't think too highly of this Duke team. Aside from Matthew Hurt, they really don't have a reliable source of offense, and the guards are not very good. This team's very flawed. But it's still Duke, and it's still got a chance to pull a couple games out here just because it's Georgia Tech and North Carolina. We just saw the Tar Heels lose on the road last night at Syracuse.
Right.
Georgia Tech team's not a lock to win any home game. So I would say right now the Duke is not going to make the tournament, but I certainly would not lay the 225 against it, because before the weekend, Duke was actually a favorite to make the tournament field. It's not over yet.
Yeah, definitely just a messy year in general for the Blue Bloods of basketball. Stick with us, a lot more to discuss right here on My Guys in the Desert. Welcome back into My Guys in the Desert. Hour two already kicked off here. Danielle Alvari at the VSIN Circus Studio. We have Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds at the South Point Sportsbook. And joining us in a few short minutes, we'll have Johnny Avello, director of the Sportsbook for DraftKings. And of course, thank you to Mackenzie Kramer from ESPN Stats and Info for joining us in the last hour. Also, some news I didn't know if Matt or Wes came across today. It's Tua Tagovailoa's birthday. So if you have any wishes for him, you know, anybody that maybe the Dolphins should draft for him.
He better wish the Miami Dolphins don't draft Justin Fields or Trey Lance. he should wish for Penei Sewell if he drops down to Miami.
I don't know. How about a receiver? I actually think the Dolphins should draft one of the Alabama receivers.
Maybe Ja'Marr Chase slips there, or perhaps they go ahead with Waddle or Smith in that spot.
I would go for one of the Bama receivers that Tua is familiar with instead of Ja'Marr Chase. Anyway, I don't think Wes is going to sing happy birthday to Tua like he did to Danielle last week. We have Johnny Avello, DraftKings Sportsbook Director. Do we have him? Johnny, you're there.
There we go. Here's Johnny.
Here's Johnny. Johnny Avello is with us. And Johnny, thanks for jumping on today. I wanted to kick it off by talking about the Millionaire Brackets Contest available at DraftKings. Is that up now? Because you sent me the details in this contest, and it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, you go to our website. You know, they're still working on positioning it on the site. So, you know, it's going to be splattered all over in a couple of days. But, you know, if you go on there and go through the pools area, you'll find it. Yeah, it's a cool little contest. It's a $100 entry fee, 20 maximum entries per person. First place is $1 million, $2 million in total prizes. No spreads, just pick the winners. And we're paying down about 1,500 places in it. Currently, it's in Colorado, New Hampshire, New Jersey, West Virginia. We're working on a couple more states, hopefully have two more at least on board by the time the tournament starts. Now, the one little quirk to the contest is that New Jersey teams, that's Seton Hall and Rutgers, if they make the tournament, you have to take the opposite side against them, at least initially. So that's the only, and everybody has to do the same thing. But the contest itself, besides that, I think is going to be a home run. I know people are already signing up. Last I saw, we had about 50 signups.
No spreads, pick the winners. So it's just whoever picks the most winners in the tournament bracket. That's the way it's – are the rounds weighted, or is each game worth 1 point essentially?
That's it. Yeah, nothing weighted.
Wes, what do you think of that contest?
No, I applaud what DraftKings is doing in terms of making contests and, you know, making it more fun and giving bettors more options to bet accordingly. So I think that this is going to get more buzz as you get close to the deadline. You're going to get more signups.
Yeah, and the brackets were always, you know, the brackets are always a trying time for the IT guys, and so you know that's who made this happen for us was our guys that could, you know, make brackets and make people be able to bet brackets. So that's the way we're doing it this year. Next year, you know, there could be something. What I wanted to do was have them come back each and every day to put in their new selections. But we decided to do it this way because we thought it was easier for the guys who formulated the brackets.
All right. Follow on Twitter at DK Sportsbook. And check out the DK Millionaire Brackets Contest, which is up $100 entry fee, max 20 entries. You can see the graphic there on the screen for the DraftKings contest. It's up there now. And $1 million for first place, $2 million in total prizes. Love contests on March Madness. So you have to get involved. Definitely going to have to get involved in that. Johnny, right now we see Baylor on top of West Virginia, 35-31 at the half. If you didn't see how the first half ended, there was a turnover on an inbounds pass by West Virginia with 1.4 seconds left. Baylor hit a three at the buzzer. So if you bet West Virginia plus two in the first half, you just took a brutal beat right there. How was the how was that game bet? That's a big time game that had an early tip off time today.
The Baylor side and the money line was bet, maybe 3 to 2 times versus West Virginia. When I say that, like maybe 60% of the money on Baylor. The under was actually bet in the game, under 140. I don't know what it ended up closing, but they were betting around under 149 or so.
West 37-31 Baylor. That's what we got right now.
That is what we have. Second half line, okay. I believe, ended up closing 1.5, even some twos out there for West Virginia. I did not go ahead and double up here. Second half total, 78.5. Baylor leading 25 seconds into the half, 37-31.
Anthony Navarro tweets in, West Reynolds took a bad beat in the first half there, Johnny. He had West Virginia plus two. We got some tweets from Anthony Navarro. Says, the laptop would be smashed if I was watching the end of that first half. A Baylor, West Virginia, absolutely brutal. Ramon Scott says, bad beats segment live with Wes and Matt can actually show the horrible first half ending. A Baylor, West Virginia, and watch Wes get his bad beat live on the air. And Wes, you also, Sean Alvarez says, you handled it like a champ, which you did, because I don't think Tim Murray would have handled that so well.
That's what broadcast professionals do here. Only the best here at VSiN, right, Matt?
All right, Johnny, we got some good games in the association tonight. Clippers at Celtics and Suns at Lakers. What numbers do you have on those two games? What type of betting action are you seeing?
We are, let's see, currently on the Laker game, we opened 1.5. We're down the 1. What was the second game you mentioned, Matt?
Suns at Lakers.
Yeah, that's the one I just mentioned. We opened
Clippers Celtics. Yeah.
Oh, Clippers Celtics. We opened up the Clippers 4. We're still sitting at 4. The total drop from 222.5 down to 221. As far as the action is concerned on the game, we are high on the Suns tonight, plus the points, and on the money line, and on the over. In the Clippers game, really heavy on the Clippers. It seems to be all Clipper money, both side and money line, and again, heavy on the over.
Johnny, flipping over to college really quickly, a couple games in the Big Ten that are big tonight, and now seeing the screen light up on the Michigan side. I believe you guys at DraftKings now are 9.5. This line has been all over the place today because there was the rumor that Ayo Dosunmu, the star for Illinois, got upgraded to questionable, and this was like 8, 8.5 in the overnights. This got as low as 6 on the line, and then obviously they ruled him out, and now it is back up to 9.5. Where is the split at DraftKings on this one?
Well, I can tell you that Michigan was bet on the money line even before the move. So we're even more heavy now on Michigan just to win the game straight up. Michigan's playing some really great basketball guys. I was looking at their futures. You could have had them at like 10-1 not too long ago, maybe about a week and a half ago. But obviously, they're drop significantly now. They're 4-1 or less. We're up to 9.5 on this game now. Totals dropped, though, from 149.5 down to 145.
John, sticking in the Big Ten, and this was a game that Matt and I have talked about where it's like, on the surface, we didn't know what to do with this, even though I think Matt eventually laid Purdue small here. But Purdue, a 2-point favorite over Wisconsin. Purdue's been playing a lot better basketball. Wisconsin off that senior day loss where they have 6 seniors lost at home to Illinois and has really struggled down the stretch. But haven't seen a lot of movement just looking at the screen here. -2 pretty much all day. And I think that's where you guys are at DraftKings.
You know, when we had this game, we were at 2.5 at one time, Wes, and we actually took some Purdue money even at 2.5. So we're pretty loaded up on Purdue for this contest tonight. The money line is just, we can't even find a bet on the under in this game.
You find that bizarre, Wes?
To not have under bets
yes,
for this?
Yes.
A little bit, because I got to think with Wisconsin, look, when you're a defensive team and you're a team that slows tempo, what you're going to do when you lose. You're going to try, you would think, to slow it to a crawl here against a Purdue team that plays pretty good defense in their own right. So, yeah, judging by the screen, we are seeing some movement on the over. I'm a little surprised at that myself.
Both these teams are top 15 defensive teams in the Ken Pom ratings. Ken Pomeroy, slow-paced offenses. You would think it's going to be an ugly, low-scoring type of game unless whistle-happy Big Ten refs get involved and call 45 or 50 fouls. And it does happen occasionally. So a couple good games. How about the Duke-Georgia Tech game, Johnny? I know one odds maker in Vegas has speculated Duke was going to be a 1.5-point favorite in this game on Sunday. We're seeing the opposite. Georgia Tech 1.5 over Duke. And really another must-win game for the Blue Devils. How's this game being bet?
Well, you would think that Duke would be grabbing the money because, you know, they're in such a spot where they need to win. But our bettors are a little scared of Duke right now. They're not feeling that Duke's the team, that may get to the tournament.
Right.
So we're seeing a little bit of Tech. We're a little bit heavy on Tech tonight for this game. When I first saw the matchup, I said, you know, this is going to be all Duke tonight. And I was thinking that way too, Matt. I was thinking Duke probably go off the favorite, and maybe they will by the time the game goes off. But I'm not seeing it as of now.
Okay.
Going back to the Big Ten, Indiana, Michigan State, what we're calling the loser leaves town match. Loser leaves the NCAA tournament, essentially, as an at-large candidate. And it's Michigan State 3.5. This has kind of gone both ways a little bit. It was 3, and then it was 3.5 in the overnight. Indiana took some money in the morning at 2.5. Now backed up at 3.5 where you guys are at DraftKings.
Yeah, 3.5. Mostly money on Michigan State tonight. I don't know if the losers, if Michigan State lost tonight, there's always the tournament, Wes, right? There's always,
right.
There's always some more hope out there. But this would sure help Michigan State's chances. This and maybe winning at least the first game in the tournament, probably the first two, that's what they're going to need.
All right. And Johnny, let's talk some golf. Last week, Colin Morikawa won the WGC Workday in Bradenton, Florida. He was 40-1 at some spots in Vegas. Where did you have him, and how was that result for you at DraftKings?
They did bet Morikawa with us also. It was a good price. It was a good price on him, and the bettors were rewarded. I like his play. He's a solid player. He's a good putter. He's good with anything from 100 yards out. He's going to be close. Great player, great future in this game.
Morikawa, Wes, I gave up on him a little bit too early. I had him at Riviera. Of all the players to make the cut, he was last in the field in putting.
And then this last weekend, he gained like 4 strokes over 4 rounds. He's gone to that saw grip, as he calls it. Look, when this dude makes putts, he's one of the top 3 players in the world, I think. I mean, because he's so pure with those irons, those approach stats are just amazing for Colin Morikawa. I think he has the best irons on tour. And when he can make a couple putts, he's very dangerous.
Wes, you want to ask Johnny, and what do you think about the favorites this week in the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill?
Yeah, John, looking at the top of the board, a little bit good field at the top, but not as balanced, though, because it's a week before the Players' Championship, so some events got to get skipped, and it's this one in Orlando. But Rory McIlroy, who's not finished outside the top 6 the last 4 years, including a win. At the top of the board, I'm seeing around 9-1-ish. Bryson DeChambeau has had 2 top 4 finishes here the last, or 2 of the last 3 years. Victor Hovland, who I had last week, finished runner-up at the Workday. Are better sticking to the favorites, or are they saying, okay, this field's a little down, maybe we're going to go with some longer price guys?
They're laying off Rory right now. DeChambeau is only 12-1, but we'll put a boost on him because we sponsor him, so we'll throw a boost on him during the week, and he'll certainly get some play. I think they're going to be looking a little deeper this week into the field. I mean, some guys I looked at personally, Sungjae Im, I like him. I don't know if you guys watch the way he swings. He's got that slow backswing. That's the way we're all taught to play. We all start off like that, but we never end like that. But he does it consistently every single shot. That's a guy I think that could be dangerous this week. I know Matt and I always talk about some of our plays. Tommy Fleetwood, I think, might grab some money this week. Maybe Fitzpatrick for sure. I think at 25-1, he's going to be played. So I think they're going to go deeper this week, Wes. I don't think they're going to be messing around with the chalk.
Yeah, I like some long shots this week as well. Jason Kokrak, we see right there at 40-1. You can find him as high as 50-1 at some spots. Matthew Fitzpatrick at 25-1. Fitzpatrick's second place at Bay Hill in 2019. You talked about Sungjae Im, two third place finishes at Bay Hill. I like him as well this week. So if you have two picks this week, Johnny, in the Arnie Palmer Invitational, who do you go with, two or three?
I'm gonna give you four.
Okay.
Because I just mentioned three. I like him. I like Fleetwood. I like Fitzpatrick. And one other guy I like on outsider is Mark Leishman.
Wow. I've got him.
He's got a good course history here.
Did you play him too, Wes?
I did not, but he's got a good history here.
He won here in 2017 and second in 2020. So I'm on him as well, Johnny. Let's bring that one home. Mark Leishman.
Okay. Hey, Wes, I got to ask you a question. You follow the golf pretty closely. Do you remember if last year was inclement weather? Because the guys did not have a good round the last round last year.
Very windy.
Yeah, actually, I was on the winner last year along with my partner, Brady Cannon. We both had Tyrrell Hatton. 4 under par, the winning score. Wind blew heavy on the weekend.
There you go, Johnny. Wes never misses a chance to pat himself on the back for a winner.
I have to after that heartbreak I got in the first half here with West Virginia.
Johnny, great to talk with you again. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, guys.
John Avello, DraftKings Sportsbook Director. Don't forget about the contest that they've got up there at DraftKings. We talked about the Millionaire Brackets Contest up at the DraftKings website right now. Quick break here. We come back with top plays and March Bankroll Madness.
Welcome back in. I'm Danielle Avari. Don't wait days for your winnings. Cash out instantly with BetRivers' new feature, Rush Pay. Get your cash when you want it at BetRivers Sportsbook, the industry leader with exclusive bets, daily specials, odds boosts, and the most in-play betting options out there. As always, get a $250 match bonus, the fastest payouts, and only one-time playthrough at BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. Offer valid in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Available at PlaySugarHouse.com in New Jersey. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Illinois, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania can call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. In Colorado, 1-800-522-4700. In Michigan, 1-800-270-7117. And in Virginia, 1-888-532-3500. Not valid in Iowa. Welcome back in to the OddsTrader.com studio here at the South Point Casino. Make sure you check out OddsTrader.com. And you can download the free OddsTrader app right now so you can start winning with the up-to-the-second info you need. Now let's get you back to your hosts, Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds.
All right, if you forgot any of those phone numbers that Danielle rattled up, hit her up on Twitter. She'd be glad to give you the numbers. If you need it for Iowa, Wes, what's the number in Iowa?
I do not know.
Ask
I'm going to guess 1-800
with
it. You're encouraging people to slide into her DMs and her comments on the gram.
I didn't say that. I just said send her a tweet. Say, what's the phone number? You don't have to send a DM. You can just send a tweet.
Don't encourage these jackals, Matt.
You just did that. You just told people to slide into the DMs.
I told them not to.
I was on the Follow the Money show this morning with Mitch Moss and Paul Howard. You were on that show as well.
I was. I got on the big show, man. I'm getting big time like you here.
I'm glad you don't have an inferiority complex.
I do not.
Like
I do not. I have the highest of self-esteem.
Very secure and confident in yourself, and it comes off.
Absolutely.
If
I take any more beats like this, it will be
this morning,
very low.
I gave him three plays. West Virginia +5 over Baylor. Iowa State +12 over Texas, Purdue -1.5 over Wisconsin. So it looks like this Baylor-West Virginia game, let's hope it goes to the wire. Taking 5 with the Mountaineers, so we're on the edge of our seats for the rest of this one. I just bailed out of the Iowa State bet. So I laid I took 12 with Iowa State, and I just laid 12 with Texas and got off the bet because and I had to buy that down to 12 to get off it. And we found out Rasir Bolton, the top player for the Cyclones, is out. So I don't want any part of that game at this point. Purdue -1.5 over Wisconsin. Slightly got the best of the number there. It's basically -2 in the market. Those are going to be my March bankroll madness plays for tonight. At least that's going to be one of them. Purdue -2 over Wisconsin. And that's just going to be, I didn't put it on there, but that's a $110 play. That's just a minimum play tonight. Purdue -2 over Wisconsin. I'm going to play a money line parlay here. Michigan -380, Michigan State -165. Those are the current numbers at Circa. If you parlay the Wolverines and Spartans, $100 wins $102. So it's going to play Purdue. We got Purdue straight and then a Michigan State money line parlay. Went 0-2 last night, Wes. Closing line value on the bets I made yesterday, I had it with Arizona +5 and Oklahoma picking, but that really doesn't matter at all when you lose both plays. Wildcats got blown out at Oregon 80-69, and Oklahoma could not execute down the stretch, and Cade Cunningham kept driving to the hoop while the Sooners jacked up wild threes, and the Sooners got swept by the Cowboys in that Big 12 battle. So 0-2 last night, dropped $250 on the bankroll. What do you have for top plays tonight?
Okay, I'll go really quickly here. Going against the late steam here, South Carolina, I did play 7 in the overnight. I'll give it out 7 minus $1.20. Starting to see some 6.5s in the market. I think this is a tough spot for Arkansas. Those 3 major home wins. This could be one where they kind of get a little fat and happy and kind of stub their toe a little bit. Georgetown +3. We're now seeing 3 across the board. Xavier, look, they knew it when they beat Creighton, and they celebrated like they won a conference championship. Uh-huh. Like Patrick Ewing's guys here. Fort Wayne +8 against Cleveland State.
Almost played that one myself. That's the Horizon League tournament.
It is, and Cleveland State is the number one seed in this tournament. Them and Wright State shared the regular season ground. Fort Wayne did split a pair with them late in the season. Cleveland State, different kind of pressure for these guys now at the one seed. So I like Fort Wayne +8.
By the way, that's the 5th meeting this season between those teams.
Yes. Okay. Yes, Fort Wayne +8. Youngstown State +3 over Oakland. Even game. Oakland, I think, is a little bit overvalued because they actually played tied against Michigan. So I'm going to go with Youngstown here. Georgia Tech money line. I think they get the win over Duke tonight. Money line is currently -$1.20.
The Fort Wayne bet number is 649, not 619.
Okay.
If you want to play Fort Wayne
that
plus
is my
eight.
Fault, not our producer's fault.
I knew it was your fault. Okay. All right, quick break. We come back. We're going to talk NFL and more golf. Don't forget, Long Shots is on VSiN tonight.
Network. We're on top of all the sports on today's schedule, all to help you become a sharper better for every game on the board. We're not just about picks and predictions. We give you the analysis and insights you need to become a smarter better on every sport. And right now, for only $50, you can put our experts to work for you all the way through the College Hoops Finals. You get everything we offer, including our members-only daily best bet emails, point spread weekly guides with up-to-date power rankings, the upcoming bracket betting guide, and of course, all access to VSiN.com. Sign up today to get everything we offer through the end of the College Hoops tournament for only $50 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Now back to My Guys in the Desert with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds.
All right, Wes, who do you think the answer is, a quarterback for the Chicago Bears?
Not Nick Foles and not Mitch Trubisky, so we shall see who it's going to be. I know that there was rumor that maybe they were going to try to see what they could put together for Russell Wilson. So I know who the answer is not. I don't know who the answer is, though.
Is it Alex Smith? He's been released. He's not going to be back with the Redskins, obviously. Alex Smith has got a connection to Matt Nagy. This was on Pro Football Talk today. Alex Smith was speaking very optimistically about the Bears because he worked with Nagy in Kansas City. Remember his former offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach?
I do.
So Alex Smith is looking for a landing place, and the Bears might be a logical one for Smith. What do you think of that? So obviously the Bears need to find a young quarterback who can be the face of the franchise for the future and carry this team to the playoffs. I'm not sure Alex Smith would be a holdover for a year.
Right.
I mean, you would have veterans Nick Foles and Alex Smith competing, and it's kind of like, hey, man, the Bears have been down that road so many times. You got to find a young quarterback.
I got to think that there would be better guys for free agency out there than Alex Smith. Keep in mind, this guy has come back from so many injuries, and it's like, okay, if they're going to play him behind an offensive line that's allowed 10 players, yeah, sure, I'll take Alex Smith. But I just think there are better options out there in free agency, even some of the older guys.
Inspirational story. You love the Alex Smith comeback story. It was great that he led the Redskins to the division title. By the way, the Redskins were 25-1 to win the NFC East at Circa before last season. At 25-1 odds to win the division. And they did that at 7-9. And Alex Smith, a big reason why, but he's not going to be back with the Washington football team. I can't call him the Redskins. I would like to see him change the nickname to the Red Storm. Washington Red Storm. How's that sound? You don't like it.
No.
I can tell you don't like it.
No.
Well, what's your idea? You got a better idea?
I don't have a better idea.
Well, then
I know what I don't like, but I know I don't like that.
You don't like the Red Storm? It sounds like the Redskins. You don't have
don't
to change
know.
The colors.
I was thinking something a little bit more civic-minded in Washington. Maybe go back to the Washington Senators or the Washington Continentals.
All right. It's obvious you don't have a better idea.
I do not have a better idea.
Hopefully the Bears can find a better idea than Alex Smith, but I would like to see – I think Smith would be a good backup plan for a team, not necessarily a starting quarterback option, but the Bears are going to have to try to figure out the quarterback situation. Alex Smith's comeback story was inspirational, doubt about it. Tiger Woods is going to embark on one now, and Tiger Woods was honored over the weekend when most of the golfers showed up at the WGC Workday wearing red, black and red on the final day. And he's got a long comeback ahead of him. But Colin Morikawa, the winner at 40-1, talked about what Tiger Woods means to him and the game of golf.
Tiger means everything to me. And, you know, yes, he had the crash, and thankfully he's all right, and hopefully he has a quick and great recovery. But I don't think we say thank you enough, so I want to say thank you to Tiger. Because, you know, sometimes you lose people too early, and that's like, you know, Kobe, I lost my grandpa about a month ago. And you don't get to say thank you enough, so thank you guys.
Morikawa gets the biggest win he's had since the PGA. Right.
Morikawa actually now is the second guy at age 25 or under to win both a major and a WGC. Of course, the first guy was the man he mentioned in that clip, Tiger Woods. So, look, you know, young guys like Morikawa coming into the game, a lot of it was because of Tiger Woods. These guys are making more money than they ever have before. You know, people have criticized Tiger that, oh, he hasn't grown the game enough at the grassroots.
Oh, come on.
But these young guys like Morikawa and all these guys, even the international guys, Victor Hovland, all speak of how they were influenced by Tiger. So all these critics that say Tiger didn't grow the game enough at the grassroots or don't know what they're talking about.
So Tiger is going to try to make a comeback. Hopefully we see him sometime in 2022. It's not going to be this year, obviously, and he's going to be missed at the majors. But Wes, Colin Morikawa cashes last week at 40-1. I bailed on him a week too early. I had him at Riviera. Of all the players to make the cut, he finished last in the field in putting, and he has this new saw putting grip, and it wasn't working for him at Riviera. And should not have jumped off the bandwagon because he cashed. He put on a phenomenal putting display in Bradenton, Florida to win last week.
Led the field also in strokes gained approach, strokes gained tee to green. And you know what? That's kind of been a pattern this year, Matt, because I've done a little bit of that, jumping off guys early. Remember Daniel Berger missed the cut in Scottsdale where he had some good appearances before. Next week he goes out and wins at Pebble Beach. And then, I mean, you have seen that, I think, really over and over again. Max Homa, I think, makes the cut early in the year, wins at Riviera. So you're seeing a lot of these guys that are going ahead and winning these events, and not all missed cuts are created equal. Keep in mind, obviously, if there's a switch of surface or a type of course, that's something you really got to look at. So just because a guy misses the cut the week before doesn't necessarily mean he's in horrible form.
Morikawa plays here in Vegas with Brady Cannon out at the Summit Club. Those guys play a very exclusive club.
Of course it's exclusive if Brady's out there.
Summit Club is a big-time club, Wes, and Brady Cannon has been out there. I'm not sure if he still holds the course record or if Morikawa beat that. Anyway, give us a tease to what we're going to see on Long Shots, world's number one rated golf betting show tonight. We're going to tape it right after this show today. You can find it on VSiN late night tonight before the Follow the Money show on VSiN.com. Wes, what are you going to look at here for best bets?
We will recap going for Long Shots. Which best bets are you talking about?
Golf.
The ones I just gave? Oh, for golf. Yeah, I gave out Tyrrell Hatton.
Give me your best bets for hockey tonight while we're talking about the Long Shot show. Why? Come on.
I thought I was going to have to plug the show. Okay, Tyrrell Hatton, Francesco Molinari, Molly Wood, Francesco Molinari, Tommy Fleetwood, Jason Kokrak, who I believe you and I are both on, Sam Burns, and a couple of longer bomb odd guys at triple digits I will give out on the Long Shots program this evening, where our guest will be David Bierman of ESPN Chalk.
Jeff Sherman at the Westgate Superbook today told me he is on two of your players there, Francesco Molinari and Sam Burns. So you guys have a lot in common this week. That's good company to keep with Jeff
Sherman.
So we
all don't have to be on Xander Schauffele together like we are every single time.
That's not going
to
happen. I'm starting to get spoiled on or soured on Xander Schauffele. Quick break. We come back. An update in Baylor, West Virginia, and the top college hoops and NBA games tonight.
oddstrader.com studio at the South Point Casino. Make sure you check out oddstrader.com and download the free Odds Trader app right now so you can start winning with the up-to-the-second info you need. Now back to Matt Youmans and Wes Reynolds.
Bang! West Virginia hits a three. Wes, and they're up 67-63. Got the ball on the break. The Mountaineers lead by four with 5.5 minutes to go. Man, this has been an up-and-down game. It's kind of helter-skelter on the offensive end of the floor. Loose balls everywhere. Guys diving, fighting for rebounds. This is
Country
a Big
roads,
Ten battle.
Take us home, please, as John Denver once sang. Let's get West Virginia in there.
The only thing this game is missing is that Mountaineer running around in the coonskin cap firing off the musket. That
Where
would make
is
the atmosphere.
The Mountaineer? It's like I know the St. Joe's Hawk is still there flapping.
I think he's been sidelined by the COVID protocols.
Somewhere socially distanced.
Look at these guys fighting for boards. Man, this is a physical game. All right, let's get to the NBA tonight. And, Wes, we got some action to talk about, or some movement to talk about on the NBA board. I want to start, actually, with the Hawks and the Miami Heat. And we have a significant player out in this game. It's Miami minus two, total of 224.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler doesn't look like he is going to play tonight. Of course, this is an interesting handicap, and I was almost leaning. I didn't think I was getting enough on the number at 3.5, so I'm certainly not getting it at 2. Lloyd Pierce was just fired yesterday by the Atlanta Hawks, so interim taking over. So usually that's kind of an interesting or even oftentimes a good spot. Played the team that just fired their coach. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel I was getting enough, and now Jimmy Butler going to be out. These two teams did play on Sunday night. Atlanta made a comeback to tie the game, and then I believe Miami went on a 10-0 run to close the game and, of course, go ahead and cover that number. So going to stay away here without Jimmy Butler, and that's why Miami is kind of where they are this season because they have started. They've had a lot of COVID issues. They've had a lot of injury issues. Now they're back up to 500, actually, 17-17. So the defending Eastern Conference champions just not able to stay healthy right now.
All right, how about the Clippers and the Celtics in Boston? We are seeing at Circus Sports, Westgate, South Point, Clips 4.5, total of 221.5.
Yeah, I agree with the move here. This did get moved down, actually, to 3.5 earlier in the show when Jaylen Brown was going to be ruled as probable and good to go for Boston. But now the Clippers have been bet back up to 4.5. Of course, they're off that loss in Milwaukee. So, look, good rebound spot for them. Kawhi and PG just didn't shoot the ball well down the stretch. Went 0-for-9 in the game down the stretch when they were a 4-point leader in Milwaukee. And Giannis get the win, but I do kind of like the Clippers in this spot. Boston back to 500 right now, but basically it's all going to come down to Kemba Walker, because they have a really good record when he scores 20 or more. When he does not, they are 2-8 overall when Kemba does not score 20 points, and he's kind of been a little erratic this year.
Good research by you there. Impressive. How about Nuggets and Bucks in Milwaukee with the Bucks 8-point favorites and total 230 five here at the South Point.
Yeah, this has crossed a bit of a key number. I know people have different philosophies. I am a big believer that basketball does have key numbers, and I think seven oftentimes is actually a key number in the NBA, because that's the first point you can get where it's three possessions, and when you get to like fouling late, if a team is down six and they don't make a shot and there's seconds left on the clock, that's where the coach gives the old wave, see you down the road, they're not going to foul. So this has crossed through to the eight. Denver all of a sudden battling some injuries here, and Denver's been kind of a fade of late, and I think one of the reasons why is Gary Harris out with a hip injury. He's really their best perimeter defender, and that's where they miss him. Of course, Paul Millsap out through March 7th, Jamichael Green out for another week, Campazzo out, Campazzo, of course, that was Jamal Murray at the end that passed it to him in that Thursday night game where he had the layup, and they went for the open three instead of going for the layup for the tie. So Denver's fallen on some hard times a little bit. Milwaukee, to their part, playing a little bit better defense, because Mike Budenholzer, everybody's been screaming at him to say, okay, you know, start to switch everything defensively on these screens instead of leaving these pick and roll guys open for these long threes. And ever since they've done that, the Bucks have played better. So now that it's crossed that key number, though, I'm going to leave this one alone.
Okay, how about the Knicks and Spurs? I think JVT's on the Knicks side of this game, right? We have Knicks laying 2 on the road in San Antonio, total 215.5.
Yeah, and it's hard to bet it now that the numbers got away. Maybe a small money line here, but I do think the Knicks are the right side here. First game away from the Garden. Now it's just a one-game trip, and then they go back home. But all of a sudden, the Knicks are above 500. They have not been above 500 for a long time in New York. And the I saw a clip on Twitter where the fans were kind of celebrating in the street outside the Garden. They can have, I think, 10 or 15% capacity back there in the Garden. So fans are not used to seeing the Knicks playing good basketball, but Tibbs has got them going, and they're buying in and playing really good defense. I think it's maybe more of a fade of the Spurs here, though, in this spot, because they were right there. They had to expend all that effort to come back last night against Brooklyn, tied it up, went into overtime, and then, of course, that's where underdogs go to die, and they were absolutely out of gas in overtime. So I think JVT is on the right track here with the New York Knicks.
Suns are 9-2 against the spread in their last 11 as underdogs. Wes and the Suns, underdogs tonight, but it's only by a point in L.A. against the Lakers. Total of 215. I lean to the Suns side here. What about you?
Like our buddy Dave Koken says, this is pick 'em in some faraway places as well. There's still a lot of ones out here, predominantly here in Las Vegas and also in those faraway places. But, God, this line, it's just like, how can the Lakers only be pick 'em at home to the Phoenix Suns? I mean, it's like, I know the Suns have improved this year and they've got some good young talent, but how could they only be pick 'em? Well, obviously, AD is going to be out here. Phoenix did go 12-3 in February.
Hey, look, there's the Mountaineer mascot.
There he is. In the upper level with the Mountaineer cheerleader. So they do have some fans down there in Morgantown in the stands. But yeah, going back to Phoenix, I understand why they're betting them 12-3 in February, but now the Ides of March are upon us. So maybe this is a spot for the Lakers to get right. Keep in mind, they do have Dennis Schroeder back. He makes a huge difference.
Yeah, we talked so much about Anthony Davis being out, but Dennis Schroeder was out at the same time.
Because
so it
allows
double
LeBron
trouble for the
to not have to be the ball distributor.
Right.
And have to be, you know, with just him on the floor where he has to do everything. He can not only you know, he can turn over that facilitator role a little bit to Schroeder, and then LeBron can they can get him some actual shots.
All right, Wes, enough with the association. Let's go to college hoops updates. Arkansas on top of South Carolina, 23-18 with 9 minutes to go in the first half. I've become a real fan of this Razorbacks team. You know, I've liked Eric Musselman for a long time. Razorbacks 19-5 going into today's game, just buried a three. 26-18, Arkansas. And our West Virginia team holds a slim lead over Baylor with just over 3 minutes to go, 72-69. So this one's going to the wire. Let's break down a couple more games tonight that we haven't talked about yet. And for those who don't know, Wes, Iowa State without its top player tonight against Texas, and that's why the Longhorns now 12.5-point favorites on the road against the Cyclones, who are winless in the Big 12. Yeah. Also in the Big 12, TCU at Texas Tech. I was on Tech. It seems like I'm on Tech a lot, and that's because I am. But Tech, 12.5-point favorite tonight over TCU. But I was on Tech Saturday in that 68-59 win over Texas. Not going to play this game tonight. 12.5 is a little bit too big of a number. Total 131.
Yeah, and look, Texas Tech has kind of been a disappointment. I think still a very good defensive team. Jamarius Burton, by the way, one of their reserves out with a toe injury, so he's not going to go. Line down to about 12.5. But I think the price was about right here. I need to see somebody other than Mac McClung make a shot late for Texas Tech.
Right.
And that's where it's been the disappointing. Of course, the transfer for Georgetown, I referenced there, McClung. But Kyler Edwards, Terrence Shannon, and these guys have got to step up here for this team. And this was a team I bet preseason that I really liked in the futures market. I liked the transfers that they brought in. Of course, the five-star kid that they got, Burnett out of Chicago, and then by way of prolific prep in California, transferred. So, you know, Texas Tech's went a little sideways. Maybe Chris Beard can get them right here in March.
All right, quick analysis on these other games. Let's hit them as quickly as we can in the final 2 minutes, Wes. Two-minute warning. Xavier laying 2.5 or 3 at Georgetown.
Like the Hoyas here, I think Xavier, that was such a big win for them, and they knew it too. They were celebrating like they had clinched a regular season Big East title. That really probably at least got them on the right side of the bubble for the tournament. So, boy, this is the spot where they can really stub their toe. I think this open pick globally and now up to 3, I think the value's there on the Hoyas here.
How about Auburn, Alabama with the Tide favored by 10? At home, is Sharif Cooper going to play? Total 158. I think Cooper's going to play.
Yeah, he was out there warming up, yeah. So I don't have the final starting lineup there for the Auburn Tigers, but he was on the floor opening up, so that has already been bet into the market. I think it was 11 at one point, now down to 10 pretty much across the board, even a 9.5 at the Westgate.
Duke, Georgia Tech with Tech 1.5-point home favorite, total 145.5. Which way do you lean here?
Tech, if you recall, did lose and actually didn't cover a game that they absolutely should have when they played Duke a few weeks ago. But that was after Georgia Tech, if you remember, had that big win or that big lead over Virginia and blew it and lost by 2. Hangover effect the next game where they lost in Durham back on January 26th. Georgia Tech's won 4 in a row. I think they make it number 5 tonight.
Could you take the ugly dog here, Memphis, South Florida, with the Bulls getting 9 at home?
It would be South Florida or nothing, simply because Memphis really struggles to score. Penny's guys play very good defense, number 2 adjusted DE in the country. But South Florida off that loss to Houston, sometimes when you play one of those power teams, it hangs over the next game. So this is a pass.
How about Kentucky at Ole Miss with the Rebels favored by 3, low total 131.5.
Got to lean Ole Miss on the money line. They really need it for their NCAA tournament hopes. Kentucky's pretty much dead to trying to win the SEC tournament.
Baylor just buries a 3. We have a tie game with 2 minutes to go in Morgantown. Baylor, West Virginia all tied up. We'll take a quick that's the end of the show today. Long Shot's going to be taped next. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.